This is an iHeart podcast.
We have a sad video. I know. Well, don't worry, we'll have fun after that. We have Senator Marsha Blackburn. She's here. We have my friend Jordan Schachtel, Jack Posobiec. We are jam-packed tonight on I'm Right. I ever tell you about the time my dad took me fishing? No, let me clarify. He took me fishing a lot. I remember growing up, and of course you got a little bobber out there in the water, and he's teaching me how to put on a worm and whatnot. But when I was 13, he found this little trip up in Canada where we could go up to this remote cabin in Canada, and we would go fishing out on these rivers and lakes, and there's no one around. And I mean nobody around. 200 miles in any direction. It's just us there. And I grew up. Over the course of a week, I grew up. If I would snag my line on something, he'd be right there, but no help, you figure it out. You get something twisted up, no help, you figure it out. Something breaks, you sit down, work it, he'll be right there, you figure it out. Hour after hour after hour after hour after hour. Recently, in fact, was it last week, 2 weeks ago, took my sons to Alaska fishing. Same thing with them. You work it out, you figure it out, you fix it, you do this. And in a week, it was like they grew up 5 years. They became young men in front of my eyes. Father to son to his sons. They'll do the same, something similar with their sons. Fatherhood is generational. Fatherhood is critical. It's everything. How you're guided by your father is critically important. The numbers, look, you know all the numbers by this point in time. Kids that have no father, 5 times more likely to live in poverty. They represent 85% of kids with behavioral problems, drug use through the roof, prisons, you name it. Any bad outcome, childhood suicide, any bad outcome you would dread in children is made infinitely more likely if dad isn't around. Fatherhood is really, really, really important. There was a video that came out from St. Paul, Minnesota. St. Paul and Minneapolis, remember, they're twin cities. They're big cities in Minnesota. And it is the saddest video. I almost didn't even want to play it for you, but it is the saddest video of a couple cops. They're having an interaction with a couple people on the sidewalk, and then these two kids look to be 3 or 4. Well, here's a video. What chance do those boys have? I mean, how heartbreaking is that? What chance do they have? Any dad gonna take them fishing? Teach them about self-sufficiency, responsibility? Dad gonna teach them yes ma'am, no sir? Gonna give them any guidance for life? No, they're not. And we all know how that story probably ends. Dead or in prison at a very young age. And here it is, 3, 4 years old, where's dad? What kind of poison do those kids have poured into them to conduct themselves in that way? Don't blame those kids, that's not the fault of those kids. Who guides those children, anybody at all? This is the state of America's urban population at this point in time, especially the urban black population. Remember, it's not about the skin color. The urban black population is an unmitigated disaster that has been enabled by the media, covered up by the media at every turn. We have Democrat politicians at the city level, state level, federal level, doing everything they can to make sure nothing ever improves in these places. And what we have now, instead of generations of fathers teaching their sons how to unsnag a fishing line, we have generations, 4 or 5 generations in a row who've never had a job. That's where we are. And because it's too offensive or uncomfortable, no one wants to have these discussions. But kids today are growing up in hell, war zones, being raised by animals, being raised to become animals, being raised in an environment that is not healthy for any child ever. Look at this from San Francisco. Feast your eyes on this.
Hey, bye, kids. Y'all get home safe, okay? Y'all get home safe. My little partner's out here. Get home safe, all right? I'm sorry y'all got to be going through see all this. Okay? Get home safe.
Get home safe.
They got to walk through this. Come on, man. These little kids got to walk through this. It's crazy.
No child should have to live like that. Certainly not in the United States of America. No child should have to live like that, and yet it's happening here. And I've been telling you for so long to get out of the cities. And I know that's so difficult to hear. I know, well, oftentimes moving's difficult to do. You got job, family, obligations, you got friends, you got this, you got a church you love, a restaurant you love, you got a lady who cuts your hair. I know, I've moved my entire life. I've moved across the country several times. I know how hard it is. I know how stressful it is, how expensive it can be. Man, if you have your family in the cities, get them out. It's not just where they're at. It's not just the miserable crime problem, the drug problem, the fatherless problem, the homeless problem. It's way beyond that. It's where they're going. Remember, George Soros, the man who's declared war on the United States of America, has 75 district attorneys in his back pocket in city after city across the United States of America. These district attorneys are intentionally turning violent criminals loose on the streets so they will cause civil unrest, trying to bring the society to its knees. Did you see what just happened in New York City? You enjoy New York City? And you know, I'm not a New York City hater. It's like my favorite place in the country. I won't even go visit anymore. $1.2 million in meth. Couple cartel traffickers just got busted with $1.2 million in crystal meth. They're already back out on the streets. They're sitting right by you and your family in New York at that Chili's eating some wings. Why are you still there? Get out of these cities. You know, this administration, they're handing out crack pipes. You realize that, right? I mean, you do know they're handing out crack pipes. And the Biden administration tried to deny they were handing out crack pipes. Jen Psaki actually called it a conspiracy theory, if memory serves me.
So I'm just wondering if the White House can say if any taxpayer dollars paid for these crack pipes.
No federal funding has gone to it. This policy does not allow for crack pipes to be included. I would just note that this is a bit of a conspiracy theory that's been spread out there. It's not accurate.
Yeah, except Daily Caller, to their credit, they sent journalists into a Biden-funded clinic in New York City, filled out the paperwork, and received a crack pipe. That's reality. Your taxpayer dollars. You went to work today. Before you came home and watched I'm Right, you went to work today to pay for somebody's crack pipe in New York City. You sleeping well on that? And speaking of you going to work today, well, you're going to have to work harder and work longer if you want to maintain your standard of living, because we found out today, latest inflation numbers, the expectations are bad. 8.8%. That's the rise from last June, from June of 2021. That would be a brand new 40-year high as you watch your standard of living evaporate, the value of your dollar evaporate, and not only is the Biden administration handing out crack pipes, not only are these Soros-funded DAs destroying the city, they're standing up in front of you day after day telling you everything is going very, very well. Here's Corinne, diversity hire.
And so, look, the president's going to be focused. We have a strong economy. We are going to, as we're talking about inflation, our plan right now is to do that transition from that the growth that we've seen in the economy to a more stable and steady growth. And we've seen that in the numbers last week with the jobs numbers.
What? Oh, they see all the polls, by the way. They understand that inflation and gas prices, they're breaking people. They understand that's what people care about. Corinne Diversity Hire was, of course, asked about that, and she gave the old, oh, we don't pay attention to the polls.
63% of Democrats believe the country is headed in the wrong direction. How do you explain that?
Well, we understand what the American people are feeling. We understand that. We're not going to pay attention to polls. That's not what we're going to do here. What we're going to focus on is delivering for the American people.
Yeah, all they care about is the polls. Climate change. Just really brief, speaking of gas prices, climate change. Maybe you're sitting there, because we were just talking about gas prices, and maybe you're thinking about the last time you filled up. Oh my gosh, $150 to fill up my SUV. And maybe you're stressed about that. I get that. But you better understand something. They're not stressed about that at all. They're thrilled about that. Remember, this was all intentional. These people have all campaigned openly on crushing you with high energy prices for years. Now they got elected. They are crushing you with high energy prices. They're not fretting about that. You see what California just did some places? Some places are banning new gas stations, banning them. Yes, the destruction is intentional. What are we going to do about it? I don't know, but I will tell you one thing we better do about it. We better start putting some people on trial in this country for their intentional destruction of the country. We're going to ask Senator Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee about that next and many other things. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. And here's something else, just one more thing that'll make you uncomfortable. Do you know that testosterone levels have dropped by half in the last 50 years? They've been cut in half. Go get chalk. It's not medicine. It's not chemical filth. It's none of this other garbage that's pushed on you. It's one, a company of hardcore anti-communists. Two, all natural herbal supplements. A 20% increase in your testosterone in just 90 days. That's with the male vitality stack. I take it all the time. You can't believe the energy you have. Ladies, they have a female vitality stack. Anything you could want, any kind of improvement you want in your health, you'll find supplements, natural supplements, right there at chok.com. C-H-O-Q.com. Promo code Jesse gets you 30% off the entire store. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
So on Wednesday, we will have new CPI inflation data, and we expect the headline number, which includes gas and food, to be highly elevated, mainly because gas prices were so elevated in June.
That doesn't sound good. Joining me now to talk about that and other things, the great senator from the great state of Tennessee. Gosh, I love Tennessee. I got to get there soon. Marsha Blackburn, Senator. Okay, obviously, inflation's terrible, but they don't seem to be slowing down on any of the things that cause inflation. As we speak, they're trying to raise taxes. They already passed a well over north of $1 trillion bill. We send billions to everybody who asks. It's as if they're trying to make it worse.
Yes, and you have to say, is this intentional or are they inept? And when you hear word salad explanations like we're hearing right now out of this White House, you just have to say, my goodness, what are they thinking? Because, of course, raising taxes, that is inflationary. And that's kind of like economics 101. And when you say we're going to stop producing and refining oil and gas, and we're going to lock down Keystone, lock down Alaska, lock down offshore, of course, you're going to have less domestic energy, and importing that oil and gas is going to cost you more money. It runs up the cost of everything. Go to the grocery store. You see how it affects the cost of everything. So people are not happy. And Jesse, when I'm out and about in Tennessee, the top three issues, inflation, inflation, inflation. And then it's followed by the open border, crime, and drugs. And those are the things people are talking about, paying attention to, and they are looking at this administration, and now they're beginning to say, you know what? I think they're doing this intentionally.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how we could come up to any other conclusion. I'm glad you brought up oil, because I saw this jaw dropper from Jake Sullivan. I'm sure you've seen it. Here's a clip of Jake Sullivan saying, we now have our commander in chief going to beg other countries for help, like we're some kind of third world dump. Here's Jake Sullivan.
There are risks for the president politically to go to Saudi Arabia with an expectation among the public that maybe there will be a specific deliverable when it comes to gas prices and so forth and supply. What is the burden on the president to come home with something in that category?
Well, it's up to you to characterize things like burdens on the president. What I can say is what the president intends to do. He intends to use every tool in his toolbox to try to create adequate global energy supplies and to bring the price of gas down for American working families at the pump. And that will be measured over time.
Senator, I've never seen anything like this in my life. We now beg other countries for baby formula. We beg other countries for oil. We leave our gigantic pile of oil we're sitting on to go beg them for more of theirs. We are a beggar nation now? Is that what we've become?
When you look at what they are doing and how they approach things, they have created a problem, because what is their religion? It is a devotion to climate change. What are they trying to do? They're trying to implement the Green New Deal by going around Congress. How are they doing it? By punishing people and causing people to have to suffer through what they call a transitory economy that will move us to the new liberal world order. Not my words, these are their words. And this is their goal. So they see this as just part of the process. They're intentionally doing this because they want to move us off of oil and gas. The president said he would end the oil and gas industry. This is how he is doing it, by the things I mentioned, ending Keystone, Alaska, taking it offline, taking off offshore, ending fracking. No more leases for drilling on federal land, no more drill permits. But he turns around and chastises our oil companies and says, you need to refine more, you need to put more in the marketplace. And by the way, you mom and pops out there, you need to lower your price. Well, you can't sell something for less than what you're paying to get something to resell it. So what they're doing is making it so expensive that people are going to have difficulty filling up the car. I'm talking to Tennesseans who will go in and put a quarter of a tank in at a time, because that's how much cash that they have to pay for that gas. I am talking to people who have adjusted how they shop for food, how they shop for clothing, how they handle logistics in their family, because they are having to pay so much more in their energy cost, whether it's the transportation cost or trying to cool their homes during the summertime.
Senator Hunter Biden, I obviously, look, I don't support it. I don't want my sons running around with crack and ladies of the night, but that's not the part that concerns me most. The part that concerns me is he's a national security risk. To have the president's son be this big of a national security risk, he apparently films every crime he's ever committed. He has business now with China. We know Joe Biden's involved in that business. Surely this is enough to prompt an investigation of some kind, right? Because this is not a small thing. If I was applying for national security clearance and I had a son like this, they would simply say no. Instead, Joe Biden has the nuclear codes.
And obviously, Hunter Biden has a very troubled life. Yeah. Everyone can see that, and it is very sad and really somewhat pitiful. And you're right that there are concerns when you see that we have sent a million barrels of our Strategic Petroleum Reserve, the SPR, that has gone to China to a company that is linked to Hunter Biden. That should concern us all, that Hunter Biden appears to be in these negotiations. And Jesse is a part of this, and I've got this information on my social media. You can look at the total volume that we have in the SPR, about 750 million barrels. That has been the height. Right now, we're at the lowest level that this reserve has been since 1983. That should be of concern to us. Now, we're drawing it down at about a million barrels a day without a plan to refill this. That is a national security risk. And the concerns of Hunter Biden being involved with this, with a company that is in China when the communist Chinese do not wish us well, that is alarming.
Yeah, to say the least. Senator, thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Good to join you. Take care.
All right. We have Jordan Schachtel. He's going to join us next. I don't think we're quite out of the woods with COVID yet. You're going to want to hear what Jordan has to say. Let's first talk about you, though, and your home. Your home has smells. It's human nature. I'm sure you keep a clean home, but your home has smells. It does. The dog, the cat, you, your kids. Boy, if you have my kids, you have smells. Cooking, whatever, you have smells. You know you can eliminate all the odors in your home. My home smells so clean now because of Eden Pure Thunderstorm. People walk in and they comment on it. Oh my gosh, your house smells so clean. Well, it actually cleans all the viruses and mold and smells out of the air. It doesn't cover them up, it cleans them out of the air. It's just this little black box. You hardly know it's there. It goes right in the outlet in the wall. They're selling three packs for my viewers for under $200. That's $200 off. You have to go to EdenPureDeals.com and use the code Jesse, and that gets you a three-pack for under $200. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse. We'll be back.
What I will tell you is that come the fall and winter, most everyone who's an expert on pandemics and these viruses will tell you that strong chance that we'll see a resurgence of the virus, whether it's the variants that we have now or new variants, and we got to be ready.
Uh-oh. Joining me now, my friend Jordan Schachtel, independent journalist, and of course, he runs The Dossier on Substack. I'd recommend you subscribe to that. Jordan, COVID restrictions, they aren't popular, right? So why would these people be wanting to bring them back? What's going on?
Hey, Jesse, thanks for having me. So I'm not so sure they're popular because I'm down here in Florida and everything seems very free. And then I go on social media or I watch the corporate press. And in New York and DC, LA, San Francisco, they seem very willing and able to want to shut down society again. So I think we're really living in two Americas at this point. There's the lockdown America and then the people who are fed up and have had enough of this.
Okay, let's set the same people like you and me aside for a moment and talk about the people who want these again. Why? How we've seen the damage by this point. It's not a theory on what the damage might turn out to be. We're living it. We're in the middle of it right now, and yet people will look at all that damage and say they want more?
Well, to them, these are life-saving measures, at least according to their rhetoric. I mean, I don't know if they really actually believe any of this stuff, but if you ask them, these are essential tools, Jesse, to stopping people from getting a virus. Just don't look at any of the data that says that none of it really has made a difference at all, whether it be, you know, the lockdowns, the sidewalk stickers, the funny homemade masks, five COVID vaccines. It just, it's all magical cures, and just ignore what you're seeing. They keep everybody safe as far as they're concerned.
Jordan, Dr. Fauci recently went on TV. I love this one. And of course, he gave the company line. Here it is again.
I was vaccinated and doubly boosted. And I believe if I did not have that degree of background protection, I would have had a much more serious course. My course was relatively light, minor symptoms. And right now I'm completely without symptoms and I feel very good, very energetic. So I believe I'm back to normal.
Just grateful to be vaccinated, Jordan. What's going on here?
So Fauci has had four shots. He's had two rounds of Pfizer pills. Fauci, it's really one and the same. He's the ultimate pharmaceutical salesman, and I think that is his primary role in his 50 years plus now running the government health departments over at the NIH. It's utterly ridiculous. I mean, he's had COVID for a month. He says that all these pharmaceuticals saved him, yet you could see him on the screen a month later, still not looking so good. He's trying to get us to prove a negative and say that without his like six applications of experimental pharmaceuticals that he would have had a worse case, but his case seemed pretty bad with all of that. So I'm not so sure any of this is really working as Fauci says it is.
Jordan, you have a piece up talking about how you would have handled the pandemic. I obviously have been very vocal, as have you, about what a disastrous way we handled it. What would you have done?
So I think it's worth challenging this idea that there's such a thing as a public health expert. You know, the idea that there's some people in academia or in our public health bureaucracies and government that have the capacity to micromanage an entire society of over 300 million people. And I think the display of the last 2 years shows that the idea that pandemics can be managed by the bureaucracy, by the government, by Ivy League China-funded academics, we shouldn't be giving these people power anymore. So in my view, that the best response to this was that there should not have been a government response. I mean, people don't actually need to be told to wash their hands or when they're sick, not to cough on people. But our all-knowing bureaucrats are claiming otherwise. But in my view, the lesson that should be learned is to never give power to these people again, to be able to have the authority to make these decisions.
Okay, did we learn that lesson, though? Because I agree with you, but are enough American people on your side now that the next time, because there's always going to be a next time, they try to gin up all this public panic, are the people going to actually say no next time?
It's trending in the right direction, but we're not there yet. And that's why I would urge people who are against the lockdowns, against the compulsory whatever, that stop giving the power, even if you're voting for whatever politician. This should be something that should be like, you should not want to vote for them if they're unrepentant lockdowners or whatnot. That this is a very clear defining issue of our time, and it's in my view, it's just irredeemable to continue to support this stuff. And it creates a great litmus test for your elected officials. And I think that's the best way to move forward on this, is create some kind of consensus that does not allow these folks to have power again.
Jordan Schachtel, thank you so much, brother. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
These people are going to lock us down again. Or at least, look, they're not going to lock you down if you're in the red area again. But what's going to happen is they're going to lock down these major blue areas again. We can't afford this. What do you have right now for preparations if things get really, really bad? What do you have? You have some gold set aside. We've talked about that. Ammo, clean water. Do you have a way to get clean water? How are you going to eat? What if that grocery store isn't there anymore, or it's there and the shelves are empty? What are you going to eat? You know, My Patriot Supply can help you with the whole food aspect of it. You don't have to sit and agonize, oh, what do I need? I need more of this. I need more of that. Go to preparewithjessekelly.com. Preparewithjessekelly.com. What you'll see there is me hooking you up with $150 off a 3-month food supply. Go get yourself stocked up for you and your family. We're talking about 2,000 calories a day. That'll keep you strong and healthy for as long as it lasts, whatever it turns out to be. PrepareWithJesseKelly.com, all right? We'll be back. Looks like the people of Sri Lanka have had quite enough of their leadership. What exactly is the connection between that and World Economic Forum and ESG and other things? Let's talk to my friend Jack Posobiec about that. He, of course, is the host of the Human Events Daily podcast. Highly recommend that. Go get it on Apple. Jack, obviously people have seen scenes out of Sri Lanka. We talked a bit about it in depth yesterday, but most people aren't making any kind of connection between the World Economic Forum and that Bond movie villain Klaus Schwab. And this, is there a connection?
Oh, there's a huge connection. So just got back myself from Davos, where Klaus Schwab's goons actually had me detained at gunpoint for about over an hour, frisking me, hand in the front, hand in the back, just so you know, Jesse, and not as gentle as when you do it. But what they were doing, though, in this situation in Sri Lanka, what people need to realize is, so we've talked about ESG scores, and it sounds kind of nebulous, right? We're saying, oh, it's this corporate social credit score, this national social credit score that enables you to get funding from the IMF, funding from the World Bank, funding from BlackRock and Blackstone and all these groups. And it might sound like something that's very doctrinal and procedural. Let me put this into prospect for everybody. The World Economic Forum, a couple of years ago, ran a story by the Prime Minister of Sri Lanka, none other than the Lanka themselves, and said how we will use these policies of the World Economic Forum to become the richest nation by 2025. It's funny because if you actually go back to the World Economic Forum website right now and try to find that article, it's disappeared. You get the big old 404 error because they deleted it. Sri Lanka has one of the highest ESG scores in the entire world. They are number 6 out of 194. You know who's down at the bottom of the list, right? That's countries like, oh, I don't know, the United States and Canada and Western Europe and Japan, right? They're all the way down. Sri Lanka is number 6 because they were pursuing these insane agendas. Just, do you know they banned fertilizer? They banned fertilizer last year, like modern actual fertilizer, saying, no, we're going to go all green with this. We don't need fertilizer. That's nothing to do with our economy. And look what it's going to do for our ESG scores. And it's going to enable us to get a lot really rich. And as we've seen with IMF loans, when it comes to the Biden family, right, we certainly know that all of the oligarchs, of course, are ripping off these loans, because what happens is, right, the loan goes to a bank that's controlled by, you know, X family member, and then they get pocket rate 10% for the big guy. This is going on again and again throughout Sri Lanka. It's also, by the way, the same way that the CCP has been extending loans to Sri Lanka. Why? Because if you look at it on a map, where is Sri Lanka located? It's located in the Indian Ocean, just off the coast of India. India, of course, is China's major geostrategic foe, their adversary on its, if you ascribe yourself to the Mackinder World Island policy. So you've got China, India, Russia, they're all these major superpowers on the continent of Asia, right? So China and India, they're always at odds. How does China place that off? They're building the literal port on Sri Lanka in the city of Colombo. By having China fund that port and then put them into debt for it, debt that they know that Sri Lanka can't pay back, the same way the IMF knows this. If you read Confessions of an Economic Hitman, you can get way into depth on these types of operations. So what's China going to do? Obviously, and everybody in the world knows, they are going to ask for naval basing rights, military basing rights on the island of Sri Lanka as a hedge against India. We've already seen stories, and I remember when I was serving over there in the Pacific and in the Navy, I was a PACOM guy, so we looked over and see what China was doing. They were already putting drones in that area, monitoring the commercial traffic. This is all about linking it, the maritime shipping routes from Sri Lanka, South China Sea, eventually up to Taiwan, and then to Korea and Japan.
Jack, I have to ask, because you're a wealth of knowledge on this stuff, wouldn't India take umbrage with China just parking a couple destroyers and battleships right there in Sri Lanka? I would think that would be a big problem for India.
Well, I think that's obviously the big opportunity here right now. And if India were smart, which they are, if the United States were smart, which we're not, we would be doing everything possible right now to find the next guy or the next coalition there in Sri Lanka to say, we want to help you. We want to get you guys on board. We'll give you whatever deals you need, right? We want to help build that influence of India on the island of Sri Lanka and bring you guys to power. Of course, that's, you know, probably not going to happen, though, because we're idiots and the CCP is already there.
All right, Jack. I have this crazy feeling, I woke up feeling this way today, of almost a little bit hopeful. I see this revolt in Sri Lanka. I see how unpopular the communists around the world have gotten with their own people. And I realize we have a million miles to go, but I feel like people are waking up at a level we need them to wake up. Am I crazy?
Well, I mean, you are crazy, but outside of that, yes. It's the frog in the pot, right? You know, the frog in the pot theory, yeah. Of course, when you put a frog in the pot and you start turning up the water, if you turn it up too fast, the frog jumps out. If you turn it up slowly, though, the frog will stay until it's boiled. They're turning up the heat too much and the frogs are jumping out. Now some frogs, right, like me or you or others might say, hey, guys, this water's getting hot. Maybe we should do something about the water, the heat, the level, little bit much. Jacuzzi doesn't feel so great right now. Everybody else having a great time. The problem being, though, is that when you crack down on people, when these prices go out of control, the gas, the food, when you can't feed yourselves, when you're waiting hours in line to fill up your car. And by the way, no, I'm not talking about Sri Lanka. I'm talking about the Outer Banks on the 4th of July weekend, right? But again, think about it. We're facing so many of these same issues here in the United States that President Biden, you look at it, we've got crime waves across the country, right? So the 7-Eleven stores getting hit in this huge, you know, on 7-Eleven day in California, 24-hour stores going out of business, insane levels of violence, children beating somebody to death on the street in Philadelphia near where I went to college, right, Temple. This is all going on. And at some point, when you try to play these imaginary ideological games like the left always does, cold, hard reality will always smack you in the face. And there's nothing that Klaus Schwab or Yuval Harari or the Zuckerverse can really do to put your eyes over that.
Jack, China, you brought them up earlier. There's video coming out of China, and there's been a lot of this of, well, people not taking it well. Here's a little sample. Jack, people obviously they're displeased in China, but we never really hear about any genuine revolt building up there. We act like the CCP is really firmly in charge and there's nobody that's even a threat to them being bounced from power. Is that true?
Well, so, I mean, yes and no, right? Every regime in China, if you go back through every single dynasty that ever existed in China, has been overthrown, right? That's been there either from internally or externally. The Manchurians at one point, or the Mongols at one point, of course, formed various dynasties. But typically, every dynasty in China has been overthrown since the beginning of time, or at least recorded history. And of course, the CCP understands that is their single greatest threat. If they get the massive population of 1.8 billion Lao Beijing, the old hundred names of China, against them. And so how do they respond? Of course, it's crackdowns. It's maybe not quite Tiananmen Square level yet, but it's exactly that. You know, there was actually an interview that somebody did with somebody outside one of the, and they're, you know, it's the zero COVID policies are what people are revolting against. It turned into a run in the banks. The bank wouldn't let them in. They froze their assets. They would get in. They started protesting. That turned up heated. Then the state police come in and start cracking down. But somebody was giving an interview in Mandarin, but what he actually said was, wow, I never thought something like this could happen in China. I said, you know, this just goes to show you how gaslit the people of China, and you feel bad for them, right? You feel bad in a sense because they will say, they honestly, Jesse, when I lived there, I would show people pictures of Tank Man. You know, the famous Tank Man picture for June 1989, he's standing up to the tanks, that line of tanks. You show people to China that picture, and I would do this. I'd say, hey, look at this. What do you think of this? They would say, what is that, Photoshop? What is that, some kind of American, you know, provocation? Yeah. That's fake. That's not real. I said, well, no, there's a video. I can play the video. And they say, yes, Star Wars is a video, too. That doesn't mean that it's real, right? They actually don't believe that these things have happened. And it just goes to show you, by the way, that we in the West also should be very careful about us being gaslit by the regimes that we live under as well, and maybe not take everything we believe for granted.
Amen. Jack Posobiec, Human Events Daily Podcast. Thank you, brother.
Appreciate it, Jesse, always.
All right. We're going to lighten the mood next. Before we lighten the mood, let's talk frankly about inflation. We brought it up at the beginning of the show, 8.8%, highest in 40 years. I don't know what to say. There's no sign, zero, that inflation's about to get better. Every sign points toward it getting worse. They're not far away from officially announcing we're in a recession, because we already are in a recession, and there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing I can do about that. All we can do is make sure we're ready. That's all. Do you have something that'll be of value if that dollar in your pocket loses all of its value? That's all. Why do I tell you to call Oxford Gold Group? They'll deliver that value to your front door. Gold, silver, and I mean physical gold, silver, the kind you hold in your hand, the kind that, I don't know, may let you buy groceries to feed your family if the dollar continues to go down the toilet. That's the reality of life. It's happened everywhere. What makes you think it won't happen here? Call 833-995-GOLD. Tell Oxford Jesse told you to call. They'll deliver gold to your front door. 833-995-GOLD. We'll be back. All right, time to lighten the mood. You saw Jill Biden, President Jill Biden, yesterday made a crack about breakfast tacos. We have a little something for you on that. Before we get to that, though, I just want you to know there are a lot of ripoff artists out there. If you own a timeshare you don't want to be in anymore, you don't have to stay. You don't have to keep shelling out that money every single year, especially now. I mean, don't you want to get rid of that thing now? Don't let them lead you to believe that fine print keeps you there forever. It doesn't. Not with Lone Star Transfer still around. Family-owned company. A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Lone Star Transfer has helped over 16,000 people out of their timeshare. They guarantee it. They guarantee it in writing. They guarantee it in a specific time frame. Make one phone call. Don't feel dumb. Make one phone call. 844-310-2646, 844-310-2646, or go to LoneStarTransfer.com. Now, Jill Biden continues to massacre the Spanish language, continues to insult people by accident. We thought we'd take advantage. Enjoy.
But we can't get those things on our own. Raul helped build this organization with the understanding that the diversity of this community, as distinct as the Bogotas of the Bronx, as beautiful as the blossoms of Miami, and as unique as the breakfast tacos here in San Antonio.
The Boca does. I'll see you tomorrow.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB. In the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
This is an iHeart podcast.